B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Brachos Daf Yud. We're going to start 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Amud Beis. Says the Gemara. And just at the end of the previous shiur, we learnt that the start of a meal gets set, what's called starting a meal, and the halachic ramification of that is that if you did it even after the time where you should have first davened mincha, nonetheless, ein mafsikin, you do not need to stop eating your meal. And we said that it's either netilas yadayim, when places where they would tie their belts very tight, then just undoing their belts was called starting the meal, and im maschilin ein mafsikin. Omar Abaya, hana chaverin bavloi, our friends from Bovel, and let's remember the Gemara said that in Bovel was the place where they were used to tying their belts very tight. Lamando Oma Tfilas Arvis Rushus, only according to the Mando Oma who holds that Davening Mayriv is a Rushus, it's not mandatory. Kiven de Shorole Hemainoi Loimatrichinonle. If they have already opened their belts, at that point we do not bother them to have to reclose their belts and Daven Mayriv, and they can continue their Su'uda, they could continue their meal. That's what Abaya said in the name of the friends from Bovel. Says the Gemara, Ulamando Omar Choiva, and according to the Manda Omar who holds that davening Mayriv is a Choiv, Matrachinon Le, we do bother him to close his belt again. Vatfilas Mincha. Regarding Tfilas Mincha, De Lekule Alma Choivo, everybody agrees it's a Choiv to daven Mincha. And nonetheless, Utnan, we learnt in our Mishnah at the beginning of this Omud, Im Hischilu Ein Mafsikin. Once they started the meal, which means opening the belt, as we saw, then ein matrichin, they do not need to close their belt again and daven mincha, they can continue their su'uda. So, of course, even Mayriv, even according to the opinion who holds it's a chayva, we would not bother him to close his belt. So what did the chaverim mean when they said that only according to the opinion that says that Mayriv is rishus, they would not bother them to reclose their belts? V'omer v'chanina mishiyatir chaguroi. Rav Chanina said explicitly that regarding Mincha, as soon as they opened up their belts, that we would not bother them to have to close it again. So Gemara is going to give 2 answers. Hasam lo yishchicha shikrus. Regarding Mincha, where it was not common for people to become intoxicated during the daytime meal, therefore, once they started their meal, we can assume that they'll finish their meal and they will catch the time of Mincha. Hocha, but regarding Mayriv, which is the evening meal, Shchicha Shikrus, people would often become intoxicated, and then they could just fall asleep and miss davening Mayriv altogether. And that's why the Chaverim in Bovel said that regarding Mayriv, if you assume that Mayriv is Choyva, you have to close your belt again and daven. You're not allowed to start the meal until you've davened Mayriv, because you may become intoxicated and miss Mayriv altogether. But if you hold that Tfilas Arvis Rishus, then even for Mayriv, and even though there's a risk that he'll get intoxicated, the Chachomim did not require him to close his belt before eating and davening Mayriv. Inami, a second explanation, says the Gemara, B'mincha kiven dekvir le'zimna mirtas v'le'osi le'mifsha. Since Mincha can only be davened in a relatively short amount of time, which is 5.5 halachic hours, from 30 minutes after Chatzos until Tzeis HaKichovim, so a person will be anxious and he'll make sure not to be negligent and he'll daven Mincha. Arvis, however, regarding Mayriv, kiven de kule lailo zman Arvis, he's got the whole 12 hours of the night to daven Mayriv. Lo yemiritas, he won't be anxious, he won't be worried, he won't be on his mind, v'osi lemifsha, and he may become negligent and get carried away with his meal and forget to daven Mayriv altogether. And therefore, regarding Mincha, they did not require him to close his belt again and daven before eating, but Mayriv, according to the opinion who holds that Tfilas Arvis Choiva, they insisted that he davens Mayriv before eating his meal. Continues the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked the following question, and there's a discussion. Is he asking his question on Rav Chanina, on Daf Tes Amud Beis, that said that the beginning of a meal is Mishayatir Chagura when he opens his belt? Or is it on Abaya, who is quoting the Chaverim, who speaks about opening the belt as being a starting point of a meal? And the Mefarshim say Rav Sheshes could not be asking on Abaya, he lived before Abaya, and others say that when the Gemara says at the beginning of Daftes Amud Beis, the beginning of the Sheh we had today, the Abaya, it's not Abaya, it's Ze'iri, and Rav Sheshes lived after Ze'iri, so he's asking on Ze'iri, which in our Gemara is Abaya. Either way, Rav Sheshes asked the following question. Trichuso lemeiser hemayne? What's this whole discussion about opening a belt, not opening a belt? Is it such a tircha, such a bother to close your belt? Opening your belt, closing your belt, what's the big bother? Why is that the point at which we say he does or does not have to go and daven mincha or mairiv and he can't have his meal? Just close your belt and daven. Or daven without. The second question is, va'oid, leika, hochi velitzli, daven with your belt open. Why is the belt become such an issue? Says the Gemara, Mishum Shenemar Hikoin Likras Elikecho Yisrael. There's a special halacha with tefillah that you have to prepare yourself when standing in front of Hashem in tefillah, and this preparation requires us to have a belt round our waists. And this answers the second question, why the Chachomim were not okay with somebody davening with their belt open. And Tosfos brings that one also has to take care that there should not be a problem of liboy roya esa erva. In the olden days where they would wear cloaks and they would not wear trousers like we wear, or pants like we wear, then if they would not have a belt, there would be a problem with the heart seeing the private parts, and one may not daven like that. Either way, one has to take care that also there's no problem of liboy roya esa erva. Also, there's an added halacha of hikoin likras elikecho yisrael, which the Gemara brings, that one should daven being prepared, and being girded, wearing a belt, is something which is a preparation for davening with covered in front of Hashem. And this is the source that's brought in Shulchan Aruch and Erechaim Simon Tzadik Aleph, for those who wear a garatel, for those who wear a belt when they daven Shmin Esra, this is the source. Continues the Gemara. Rava bar Ravuna Romi Puzmuki Umatzli. Rava, the son of Rav Huna, he would put on an expensive pair of shoes and he would daven that way. Omar Hikoin Likras Hashem Likras Elikecho Yisrael, that when you daven, you have to daven with respect, and one of the ways of respecting is not to daven barefoot. And others say that barefoot is less of an issue, and here he was putting on expensive shoes because of the covered of the tefillah. Rava Shodi Glime, Rava would remove his expensive robe, Upochar Yode, and he would clasp his hands one in the other, Umatzli, and that's how he would daven. Omar, he would say, Ka'avda Kamimori, I'm davening in front of Hashem like a servant is standing in front of his master, and therefore it has to be done without all this glamour. Omar Vashi, Ravashi says, Chozino li Rav Kahana, I saw Rav Kahana, ki ikka tzara ba'alma, when there was pain and anguish and stress in the world, shodi glime, he would remove his robe, upochar yode, and clasp his hands, umatzli, and he would daven that way, omar, and he would say, ka'avda kamimori, like a servant in front of his master, ki ikka shalmo, but when there was peace in the world, lovish, he would be well dressed, umiskase, umisatev, and he would cover himself and be cloaked with his robe, umatzli, and that's how he would daven. Omar, he said, hikoin likras elikecho Yisrael, you stand in front of Hashem, having been well prepared to stand in front of the King of all kings. Continues the Gemara. Rava chazye l'Rav Hamnuna, Rava saw Rav Hamnuna de komarich betzloisei, who spent a long time davening. Omar, so Rava said, manichin chaya oilom, why is Rav Hamnuna leaving Torah, which is chaya oilom, which is the pursuit of the eternal world of Olam Haba, va'oskim b'chayei isha, and he's pursuing just worldly matters? And Rashi says that the tefillah deals with refuah, is asking for health, for peace, for shalom, for mezonos, for parnasa, for sustenance. These are things which are worldly. Why is he not engaging in pursuit of the eternal world by learning Torah? V'hu savar v'amnona held zman tefillah l'chud v'zman Torah l'chud. You're right, there's a time to pursue eternal world, there's a time to learn Torah, but there's also a time to daven, and since there's a time to daven, I'm engaging in tefillah as long as it takes. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiyah, have a Yosef kameidu Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rabbi Zeira, v'hava oski b'shmaita, and they were learning Torah. Noga Litzluye. It became late and it was coming to the end of the Zman of Tfilah. V'hava komisari Rav Yirmiyah. And Rav Yirmiyah hurried in order to daven. Kori ole Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira said about Rav Yirmiyah, Meisir oznoi mishmoya toiro, gam tfilosoi toiva. Somebody who turns his ear away from Torah, even if the reason he's stopping to learn is in order to go and daven, it's a te'eva, then his tefillas will not be received in Shemaim. Hashem does not want that. And there's a big question, what does it mean? We know that you have to daven and you're allowed to learn, even if you wait till the last minute, but at the last minute you have to daven. And Tosfos says that there's two explanations for this, either that he was considered like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, which we're going to see on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that he did not have to stop to learn, or it's talking about where there was still enough time that he could have continued learning a few more minutes and only then gone to daven. Continues the Gemara. Me'im osai haschol as din. What's considered the beginning of a din, when we said in the Mishnah that one should not start a din Torah, a court case, with the litigants in Beis Din, because it can get drawn out, one should first daven mincha. But the Mishnah says, im hischilu ein mafsikin, if you started the din, then you do not need to stop. So the Gemara is asking, what's called starting the din? Rabbi Yirmiyah v'Rabbi Yoina. Chad omar mishis atfu adayonim. One says it's from the time where the dayonim, they cover themselves with their robes. V'chad omar mishayiftachu ba'alei dinim. From the time where the litigants start talking and saying their claims, their arguments. It was typical, and that's how it should be, that the dayonim would cover themselves over with the robe in order to keep full focus and concentration on what's going on and not get sidetracked with anything else going on in the courtrooms, and that way they'll be able to give a psak din, a ruling, which is completely truthful. So the question is, why are the two of them arguing as to the beginning of the din? Are they arguing at all? Says the Gemara, v'loi pligi. They're not really arguing. Ha'da oski v'osu bedina. If they were already engaged in a previous din Torah beforehand, and now it's come to samuch l'mincha, what's called that the next din has started, it's when the litigants start saying their claims. It can't be when they cloak themselves with their robes, because they've already done that from the previous din Torah. But in a case where there was no previous din Torah, and now they're sitting down for their first din Torah in this session, then starting the din Torah is marked by the fact that the dayonim are covering their heads with their robes. Continues the Gemara. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi have a yosva v'goros abeina amuda. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who were known as the dayonim of Eretz Yisrael, they were engaged in Torah learning between the pillars of the Beis HaMedrash, or of the public place there. V'chol shaito v'shaito, every hour, have a tofchia ibra d'dasha, they would bang on the bolt of the door. V'omri, and they would proclaim, y'ika d'islei dina. If there's anyone here who has an argument, a case with their friends, le'ol v'laisi should come up and come in order to have the din Torah. Rav Chisda v'rabbe baravuna, have a yosu b'dina kula yoyma. They were engaged in dinei Torah the whole day. They felt bad, they felt weakened. And Rashi's got two explanations. Were they feeling bad because they hadn't had time to learn Torah all day? Or were they feeling weak because they had not had the chance to eat yet? Tonoluhu Ravchia Barav Midifti. Ravchia Barav from place of Difti, he commented to them as follows. Vayamoid ha'om al Moshe min aboike ad ha'orev. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was judging the people from the morning till the evening. So he asked, V'chisale al daitcho, could it possibly be Moshe Yoshev Adon kol hayom kulo, that Moshe was judging the people all day long? Teirosu Mosei Nasis, when did he do his Torah learning? Eloloim alecho, the Pasuk is teaching us that in truth Moshe was not judging them all day. And the few hours that he was judging them is considered as if he was judging a full day. Kol dayan shedon din emes lamitay. Any dayan is engaged in faithful and truthful judgment. afilu shoachas, even just a short amount of time, ma le'olav ha'kosuv, it's reckoned by the posuk, by the Torah, ke'ilu nase shutuf la'kadosh baruch hu, as if he's a partner with Hashem, b'maisa bereishis, with the creation of the world. Ksiv hocha, it says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu that was judging the world, that was judging the people, v'yamoid Moshe al ha'om min ha'boiker ad ha'orev, that he was judging the people from the morning until the evening. Uchsiv hosom, and regarding creation of the world, it says, vayhi erev, vayhi voiker, yoim echad, it was evening, it was morning, yoim echad. Since both judging the people and creation of the world is categorized by erev voiker, morning till evening, evening till morning, so it's coming to teach us that the reward of somebody, of a dayan, who is judging faithfully and truthfully, even just a short amount of time, is as if he's a partner in creation of the world. But in truth, a person, a dayan, does not have to be engaged in being a judge all day. It's enough just a few hours of the day. And that's what the response was to Rav Chisda and Rabbi Baruch Huna, who were engaged all day with judging the people. It was not necessary. They only have to judge a few hours a day. Continues the Gemara, Admosa Yeshvim Badin. Okay, so you've just told us that a dayan does not have to be engaged in court cases all day. How long? Yes. Omer of Sheishes, Adzman Suda. Until the time that Talmidei Chachomim, a dayan is supposed to be a Talmud Chacham, until the time that a Talmud Chacham is typically supposed to eat his meal. Omer of Choma, Maikro, where do you see that the dayanim should be those that are eating their meal when Talmidei Chachomim eat their meal? Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Iloch Eretz, woe to you, the land, Shemalkeich Noar, that the king acts like an adolescent, Vesorayich Baboike Yechelu, and the ministers, they dine in the morning. Ashreich Eretz, happy are you, praised are you, the land, Shemalkeich Ben Chorim, that the king is a man of dignity, Vesorayich Ba'es Yechelu, and the ministers, which is obviously referring, the kings and the ministers here are the Dayanim, the Talmidei Chachomim, Ba'es Yechelu, they're eating in the proper time. Bigvura v'loi bashasi, that they are engaged in strength, which is Torah, and not in drunkenness with drinking. Another Gemara is going to say, Bigvura shel Torah v'loi bashasi shel yayin, these kings, these rulers, these ministers, they are engaged in gvura, in the strength, and strength is Torah, and not in shsia of yayin, drinking wine. And now we're going to see in the Braisa that what is the time that these Talmidei Chachomim, these kings, these ministers, when are they supposed to be, or when's the time that they are supposed to eat? Tanu Rabbanon, Shori Shoino Machol Ludim. The first hour of the day is the time where the tribe of cannibalists, that's when they used to eat. Shnio Machol Listim. The second hour of the day is the time that thieves used to eat. Shlishis Machol Yerushim. The third hour of the day is the time that those that inherited wealth and they did not have to work in order to have money with which to buy food to eat, and therefore they would eat in the third hour. Revius Machol Poyalim. The fourth hour is the meal of those who have labor, the laborers. They're working, they have some money, they can buy food to eat. Chamishis Machol Kol Odom. And the fifth hour is the where all other people, that's when they typically eat. And the Gemara interrupts the Brice in the middle. Eini, is this so? V'omer of Papa, did our Papa not say Revius Zman Suda L'chol Odom? You just said now that Chamishis is the Zman Suda L'chol Odom. Did we not learn, did Rav Papa not say that the fourth hour is when all people eat? So the Gemara says, Elo, you're right. The Brice should read as follows. Revius Machol Kol Odom. The fourth hour is when all people eat. Chamishis Machol Poyalim. And the fifth hour is when the laborers eat. And then the Brisa continues, Shishis Maichel Talmidei Chachomim. The sixth hour is the time that Talmidei Chachomim, that's when they eat. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim, is this the beginning of the sixth hour or the end of the sixth hour? Either way, the Dayonim who are judging, they are supposed to be sitting in judgment until the sixth hour, which is the time for Talmidei Chachomim to eat. Mikan ve'elech, if somebody eats after this time, kazayrik even lechemes, it's like throwing a stone into a bag. If you have a bag that's got wine in it, and you want to fill up the bag with wine, then what you should do is you should pour more wine into the bag. But if you put a stone in the bag, the level of the wine will raise, but you haven't added any more wine in it. It's just, it just looks like there's more wine, but you haven't really filled it up with more wine. And eating, filling up one's stomach with food after this time, after the sixth hour, is not really helpful. And Rashi's got a discussion, is it harmful or is it just not helpful? Omar Abaye, Loi Omron, this is only true that eating after the sixth hour is kazerik even lechemes, elo deloi toim midi butsafra. It's only if you did not taste anything from the morning, aval toim midi butsafra, but if you ate something early on in the morning, less lan bo, then there's no issue with having your meal after the sixth hour. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rev Ada Barava. Mispalil Odom Tfilosi Bebeis HaMerchatz, a person is allowed to daven in the bathhouse. And since he did not say which chamber in the bathhouse, we assume that it's all the chambers, anything called a bathhouse, you're allowed to daven there. And we're about to see that a bathhouse has three different chambers. There's the innermost chamber, where the people are, everybody there is not dressed. You've got the middle chamber, where some people are dressed and some are not dressed. And the outermost chamber, the outermost room, where everybody was already dressed, they would cover themselves up in the middle room, and then in a covered state, they would go into the outer room and get dressed. So we're going to see now in the Gemara. Meisvei, there's a braisa, and this braisa may be a challenge to what Rav Ada Bar Ava said. What does it say in the braisa? Hanechnas lebeis hamerchatz, if somebody goes into a bathhouse, Mokim shebnei adam oimdim levushim, in the outermost room where everybody there is covered, yesh shom mikra, one is allowed to say the Shema there, or tefillah, and one's allowed to daven Shemoneh Esrei there. Ve'ein tzarech loimar she'elas shalom, and it goes without saying that one may greet one's friends there and say shalom, which is one of Hashem's names. U'maniach tefillin, one may don one's tefillin in the outermost chamber. And it goes without saying that if he was already wearing tefillin, when coming in, he does not have to remove his tefillin if he's only in this outer chamber. The middle chamber, where some people are dressed and some people are not, one is allowed to greet one's friend there using shalom, which is one of Hashem's names. Ve'ein shom mikro tefillah, but one should not say the Shema there, nor should one daven Shemoneh Esrei there. Ve'ein choylitz tefillin, if he was wearing his tefillin, he does not have to remove them. Ve'ein maniach lekatchila, but he should not put on his tefillin in this inner chamber, because there are people there that are standing undressed. Mokem shebnei adam oimdim arumim, in the room, the innermost room, where everybody there is not dressed, Ein sham sheilas shalom, one should not greet one's friend using Hashem's name. Ve'ein tzarech loima mikra tefillah, it goes without saying that one should not say the Shema there, nor daven Shemoneh Esrei there. V'cheilat tefillin, if he was wearing his tefillin, he has to remove them. Ve'ein tzarech loima she'einu manichon, and it goes without saying that he's not allowed to put on his tefillin in that room. And this is a contradiction to what Rav Ada Bar Ava said, who said that one may daven in a Beis HaMerchatz, which would seem that in all the rooms of the bathhouse he's allowed to daven. Answers the Gemara, Kika Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, when did Rav Ada Bar Ava say that you can daven in the bathroom, in the bathhouse, B'merchatz she'ein b'odom? Talking about the bathhouse where there's nobody there. Asks the Gemara, V'ha Omer Rav Yaisi Bar Chanina, Merchatz she'omru, Afal pishein by Adam. All the halachas of the merchatz, of the bathhouse that we've learned, is even if there's nobody undressed in the bathhouse. Beis hakisei she'amru, and all the halachas that one discusses about the beis hakisei, where one relieves oneself, afal pishein by tzoya, even if there's no excrement there, one is not, all those same halachas apply, even if it's clean. Because just being in a place that's called a bathhouse, or called a lavatory, where one relieves oneself, is enough reason that one should not daven there. Elo ki ka'omer Rav Ada b'chadati. Rav Ada Bar Ava was talking about where it was a new bathhouse, which had never been used as a bathhouse. It was just designated to be a bathhouse, and that's why he was allowed to daven there. V'ho mi boyle Ravina. Did Ravina not have a doubt? Did he not question his minoy lebeis hakisei mau? If one designated a room to be a lavatory what's the halacha? Does it have the halachas of a Beis HaKisei or not? Why did he not bring proof from Adu Ba'ava that one is allowed to daven there in the same way as the bathhouse? Rav Adu Ba'ava allowed him to daven there. Yesh zimun or in zimun? Why did he ask the question whether designating a room to be a Beis HaKisei, whether the designation brings into effect all the halachas of the lavatory or not? V'loy ifshitle, and it was not resolved by Ravina what the halacha is. Why did he not bring proof from Rav Adu Ba'ava? That's how the Sfasemes explains this Gemara. Lav hu adin lemerchatz? Can we not take it for granted that in exactly the same way as there was a question on the lavatory whether designation is enough to affect the halachas, that it's the same with the bathroom? And if in the bathhouse Rav Adu Ba'ava allowed them to daven, why should it not be taken for granted? The same would be in the lavatory. Says the Gemara, loy, no, it could be Dilma, perhaps, Shani Beis HaKisei Demois. It could be that in a bathhouse, if there's nobody there, one's allowed to daven there. But a lavatory, which is much more repulsive than a bathhouse, there Rav Inna had a question whether it could be that it's worse than a bathhouse, and designating a room for a lavatory already affects and puts all the halachas into place. And that was the question of Rav Inna, and it's a question that remained unresolved. Continues the Gemara. We saw on Amud Aleph in the Gemara that one is not allowed to greet one's friend and using Hashem's name, which is Sholim, in a bathhouse where there are people standing and who are inappropriately dressed. Says the Gemara, Ein Shom Sheilas Sholim, one's not allowed to greet one's friend in the bathhouse. This is proof to what was said in the name of Ullah. It's prohibited, it's forbidden to greet one's friend with the term Sholim in the bathhouse. Mishum Shenemar, because when Gidoin was addressing Hashem, Gidoin said, Vayikro loy Hashem Sholim. That Gidoin was referring to Hashem, so to speak, with a double name, Hashem Sholim, and since Sholim is Hashem's name, one's not allowed to say it in the bathhouse. Elameato hemnusa nami osur lemeimar beis hakisei. Are you suggesting that the word emuna, which is faithful or trust, referring to Hashem, one's not allowed to say that in the lavatory? Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk, hokel hanemon, Hashem is the faithful one. And since it's Hashem is called a faithful one, one should not be able to say the word emuna, referring to Hashem, in the Beis HaKisei. V'chitei mochanami, are you going to say that that's the truth? Yeah, and you know chanami. V'omar rava bar machasya, omar v'choma bar guri omar rav. It was said in the name of Rav, shori lemei marhem nesu b'Beis HaKisei. It's said in the name of Rav explicitly, one is allowed to say emuna in the bathroom, in the Beis HaKisei. And why is that different to Sholim? Says the Gemara, Hosom, Shem Gufei Loi Ikri, Hochi. Hashem is not called Ne'emon. He's not called Mehemnasa. The Metergaminon Eleko Mehemna. On the Targum of Hokela Ne'emon says it's Hashem who is faithful. Faithfulness is one of the attributes that Hashem reveals himself with, but it's not actually one of his names. Hocha, but in the case of Sholim, Shem Gufei Ikri Sholim, Hashem is actually called Sholim. Dichsiv, as it says, Vayikro Loi Hashem Sholim. He was calling Hashem and referring to Hashem by the name of Sholim. This is discussed at length in the Mefarshim, but we've explained the Gemara in its simple pshat. Continues the Gemara. V'omar Rova bar Machasya Omar Vchoma bar Guria Omar Rav. Another halacha in the name of Rav. Hanoisin matono lechaveri. If somebody gives a gift to his friend, tzorich loidio, he has to inform him. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Lodas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. And we saw in the Braisa, Tanya na mihochi. Lodas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. What does it mean when Hashem told Moshe, tell Klal Yisrael that Klal Yisrael should know Lodas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem, I am Hashem who is sanctifying them? Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Hashem said to Moshe as follows, Matono toivo yeshli bebeis gnozai, I've got a very good gift in my treasure house, V'shabbos Shmo, This gift is called Shabbos. Vani mevakesh litnol Yisrael, and I want to give it to Klal Yisrael. Leich vayidiyom, go and inform them that I'm giving them this gift. And Rashi says there's two reasons that one should inform somebody when giving them a gift. Number one, that if you just give somebody a gift, they might be embarrassed to take it. But when you speak to them about it first, it becomes easier for them to receive it. And the second thing Rashi says is because if they don't know that you've given it to them, then it will not increase the bond between the giver and the getter. And a matana, giving a gift, is always there in order to increase the love between the one that gave it and the one that received it. And this love will only be in effect if the person who's received knows about it. Mikan Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. From here, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel deduced that Hanoisin pas letinoik. If you give some bread to a child, not your own child, somebody else's child, tzorich leidia leimoi. You have to inform his mother. My ovitle. How can you inform the mother? What can you do to the child to make sure that the mother will be informed that you fed him? Omer Abaya shoif le mishcha. Abaya says you should rub some oil, umoli le kuchla, and apply some face paint onto in between the eyes on the face of this child. And then the child will go home. His mother will say, "What's happened? Where have you got this oil on your face?" He'll say, "Mr. So and so or Mrs. So and so did that to me, and he or her also gave me to eat." And that way, the mother will know that you fed her child. Today, that people are concerned about sorcery, and you can't really apply paints and things to children's faces. What should you do? Omer of Papa says, "Shoy flame oise hamin. Whatever you gave him to eat, you should rub some of that onto his face, or spray some crumbs on his hair, or whatever it will be. Make sure there's some leftovers on the child. The mother will ask the child, "What's going on? What have you been eating?" He'll say that somebody fed him. Asks the Gemara, "Eini, is it true that you're not allowed to give somebody a gift without informing him?" It was said explicitly by Rav Choma that if you give somebody a gift, you do not need to inform him. Where do we know this from? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, that Moshe did not know that his skin of his face had become radiant, consequent to having spoken to Hashem. So we see that Hashem gave him that gift of radiance and did not tell Moshe about it. So you see from here that one does not have to inform somebody when giving them a gift. Says the Gemara Loi Kashi, it's not a contradiction. Something that's going to become revealed anyway, you do not need to inform the person that received it. And since Moshe Rabbeinu would clearly become informed at some point that his face was radiant, therefore Hashem did not have to tell him. But when it comes to giving the child some food, where if you do not inform the mother will not know, then you have to inform the mother. Ask the Gemara of Hoshabbos Davide Ligluye. Regarding Shabbos, it's also something that's going to become revealed and clear, because Hashem was going to tell them clearly at Har Sinai, you have to keep Shabbos. So why did Moshe have to inform them about it first? Says the Gemara, Matan Schoro Loi Ovid Ligluye. It's true that on Sinai Hashem was going to command us with the mitzvah of Shabbos, but Hashem was not going to explicitly tell us about the reward of Shabbos. So Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Klal Yisrael and tell Klal Yisrael about the tremendous reward of Shabbos that they're going to get. Continues the Gemara, Rav Chisda havanokit biyodei tarti matanto dutura. We learned in Maseches Brachos that Rav Chisda was a kohen, and even though he lived in Chutz La'aretz, at that particular time, the concept of Matnus Kohuna still applied in Chutz La'aretz. It's a long discussion in the Mefarashim, but it's clear that the Gemara is talking about that Rav Chisda had Matnus Kohuna. Now, one of the Matnus Kohuna is that when a person shechts an animal, he has to give the Zeroya, which is the right foreleg, the Lochayayim, the jaw, and the Keva, which is part of the inside of the animal, you have to give it to the Kohen. Once the Kohen has it, he's allowed to give it to anybody, even to Yisrael, is allowed to eat it. So Rav Chisda was holding in his hand two of these matonis, the tura of an ox that had been given to him, and they were obviously valuable. Omar and Rav Chisda said as follows: Kol man de'osi, anyone who comes, v'omar li shmeita chadeta mishmei de Rav, and tells me something in the name of my Rebbe Rav that I did not yet know, yohivna leini ale, I'm going to give him these matonis. Omale Rava Bar Merchasya. Rava Bar Merchasya told Rav Chisda, Hochi Omar Rav, I'll tell you something in the name of Rav. Maybe you haven't heard it yet. Hanoisin matono lechaveiro, if you give a gift to your friend, tzorich loidio, you have to inform him, as we just saw in the Gemara. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Rodas, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Hashem told Moshe, inform Klal Yisrael about the schar of Shabbos, so when I give it to them, they'll know that they have it. Yovan Yale, Rav Chisda gave to Rava Bar Merchasya these matonis. Omar, so Rava Bar Merchasya said to Rav Chisda, Chavivin olecho shmaitet Rav kulehai, is everything in the name of Rav so dear to you that this is what you're happy to give in order to hear something new? Omar lei in, he said yes. Omar lei, so Rava Bar Merchasya said to Rav Chisda, Hainu do Omar Rav, milsa, Hainu do Omar Rav, this is what Rav says, miloso, a garment, a robe made of fine wool, al bashayhu yakira, it's very precious to those who are accustomed to wearing it. And you too, since you're accustomed to hearing things from the, in the name of your Rebbe Rav, therefore everything that's said in the name of Rav is very precious to you. Omar lei, Rav Chisda responded, Omar Rav, hochi, did Rav indeed say that? Basraisa adifuli mikamaisa, this second quote in the name of Rav is even more precious to me than the first one. Yehavana kitna achrina achriti, if I would have another one of these matnois kone in my hand, yehivna lecha, I would have given you another one. And the reason this second quote was even more dear to him than the first one is because it was associated and related to Rav Chisda himself. The Rav Chisda, who was very dear to him, everything in the name of Rav, that's what Rav said, that he's compared to a coat of fine wool that's very dear to somebody who's used to wearing it. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Bar Merchasya, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omar Rav. Another quote in the name of Rav. Lo'ilo mal yeshane odom bnoi bein abonim. A person should not single out one son from between all the sons. Shebishvil mishkal shnei sloim melas. Shenosan Yaakov leYosef, because of the fine wool to the weight of two sloim that Yaakov gave Yosef, he gave him the kesoines pasim. This caused the other brothers to become jealous, and then the whole story transpired until it turned out that Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim, went down to Mitzrayim. Yosef Meshabonov, Yaakov singled out Yosef and gave him the kesoines pasim, and did not do so to all the other sons. To all the other brothers, Niskanu Boechov, his brothers were jealous of him, Vinisgal Gil Adovar, and the whole issue evolved, Vyorda Visenu Mitzrayim, and our forefathers, the Shvatim, with Yaakov Avinu, went down to Mitzrayim. Continues the Gemara, V'omar Rav Bar Merchasya, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria Omar Rav. Another quote in the name of Rav. Lo'oilom Yechazir Odom V'yeshev Be'iru She'ishivoso Kroiva. A person should always search when he's looking for a place to live. He should live in a place that has been inhabited more recently. Shemitoichshi shivosa kroivo, since the people started living in this place more recently, avoinoseo mu'otim, less averus have done in this place, and therefore it'll be more guaranteed that things should work out properly. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Hine no ho'ir hazois kroivo lonus shamo, v'hi Mitzor, where when Loit was running away from Sodom, then they said to the Malachim, let's run to this place which is very close by and small. Asks the Gemara, my Kroiva, what does it mean that it's close, and what does it mean that it's Mitzor, it's small? Ile Mekroiva, does Kroiva mean de Mikrova, that it's close by, in distance? Vezuta, and it's small, and therefore you don't need to worry that this place is going to get turned over together with the stone. V'okachozile, you can see that this is a place that's right nearby. You didn't have to tell this to the Malachim. Elom mitoich she'yishivosa kroiva. What the Pasuk means to say is that since kroiva doesn't mean it's close by, it means that it's recently just been inhabited. And evinoyseo mutzorim, and therefore the averus done in it are smaller. Not that it's a small place, but the amount of averus are less. Therefore, that's the place to run to. Omer Biovin, Maikro, where do you see in the Pasuk that this place that Lot and his two daughters ran away to was inhabited more recently than Stoim? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Imolto no shomo. You should escape no, please, to that place. What's the word no telling us? Says the Gemara, no, the numerical value of no is begematria nun v'chad. It's 51 hava v'shel Stoim. But and the town of Stoim, the city of Stoim, nun v'beis. We know, and Rashi explains how we know this, that Stoim was first built after the Deir HaFloga and was destroyed 52 years later. So at that point, Stoim had been inhabited for 52 years. V'shalvasa chavov, and the amount of years that Stoim had peace of those 52 years was only 26 years. Dechsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Shteim esrei shono ovdu es kedor lo imer. That was 12 years where there was arguing and fighting. Ushleisha also shono marodu, and then there was another 13 years where there was a rebellion, also no peace there. Ubarba also shono bo kedor lo imer, etc. And there was another war. So and until the 14th year, that means 12 years which they served kedor lo imer, another 13 years of the rebellion, and the 14th year, altogether that's 26 years, and the remaining 26 years is when Sodom had peace. So you see from there that Sodom was inhabited 52 years, but this place where Lot ran to was Imolton No, had only been inhabited 51 years, and therefore less Averus had been done there, and therefore it was a good place to run to. And Emirat Hashem, in the next year, we'll continue from here.